Good morning. So the question is, how high should we aspire? And our egos say, well, let's just be good. Let's be kind, let's be loving, let's be good to people. And in this reading, Kriyananda says we have to go for the highest. We have to totally give up that ego that we've carried with us for so many lifetimes, centuries, years, seconds, painful days. And recently, Swami Kriyananda has said, we can go for liberation in this lifetime. He's actually come out and said it. This is our time to be liberated. Now, I love that because he told Asha 10 or 15 years ago in my hearing that how much progress can a man or a person make in one lifetime? And I thought, good Lord, what a terrible thing to think. But as Kriyananda has progressed in his own spiritual practice, and he has been promised by Yogananda to be free in this lifetime, he looks around and he says, well, why not the rest of you people too? So, what we need to do is to commit to that particular view. Because if we don't, what we're committing to is an egoic view. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And that is amazingly self-limiting because anything identified with me and with that ego sooner or later turns in and the energy goes down the spine. And what happens when the energy goes down? It's painful. So the more we identify with the ego, the more pain we have. And the more we identify with our soul, the more joy we have. So that's our choice in this particular reading. We don't have to look good for people. We don't have to do our meditations regularly. What we have to do is cease to identify with that ego that sees ourself as limited, as a body, as a personality, as a mind. What does Jivan Mukta mean? Jivan Mukta means freed while living, freed in this lifetime. And what is that freedom? It's freedom from that ego, freedom from that weakness, from that identification with weakness. It is absolute oneness with God. Now, most of us hear something like that and go, whoa, not me. But that me is the one we need to go beyond. So recently, Swami's come out with a chapter for another book that he's going to publish, probably in a year or so. And it's a great one. It's, we all need to think and act differently. I'm not sure if you've seen it, but in it he says, no matter where you are in a spiritual path, begin now to pull away from our egoic attachments. If you just started, just walked in the door, or you've been meditating 30 years, cease to self-reference. Cease to be always concerned about what I get, what's mine, how people are treating me. Give that one up, because that just keeps us locked in pain. So what is this ego that we're trying to get beyond? Well, for many lifetimes, 5 to 8 million apparently, we've needed that ego to take us to our next incarnation. And we've chosen some sort of vehicle, plant, animal, human, which will match our level of consciousness. And we use that level of consciousness to express the most we can, then we die, and we come back. And the ego's function is to continually strive for higher. Okay, so up to a point, there's a value in ego. We need the ego to say, there's pain, but who's in pain? I'm in pain. So you're the one that's going to do something about it. So that's the value of the ego. But most of the people in this church have come to a point where they realize that there's something higher than our own egoic self. And so the ego at this point is more a stumbling block. Because every time we sit to meditate, what happens? We start planning. We start obsessing. We start any one of a number of different things instead of just being still, loving God, and doing our practices. Now, that's our ego attachments. So how do we get rid of this ego thing? Well, we can't kill it because it's the ego trying to kill the ego, so clearly that doesn't work. And the story of the Bhagavad Gita says that Bhishma, who was the personification of the ego in that story, had a boon from God that he could not be killed until he said, okay, you can take my life now. Okay, so that's the indication to us. We won't kill this ego. So there's no need for fear on our part that something's going to be taken from us and ripped from us. Okay? Now that's the deep-seated fear that we have about losing the ego. Clearly was mine. I remember a meditation I started going out into the, you know, the cosmos, and immediately my ego says, no, you'll die. But it's not true. That ego has the chance, has the possibility, has the boon to say, I'm ready to let go. And it will only happen with the grace of God. So Kriyananda, in one of his recent writings, says, when you go deep into meditation and you get to that superconscious space, then God and the gurus can come in and help you change your consciousness, change the level that you're at. Okay, so we don't need to fear about losing this ego thing. But what we do need to do is begin to just loosen its grip on us, because that's the cause of most of our difficulties. When we're happy, loving, kind, in joy, are there any difficulties? Of course not. So we have a number of practices for that. Now I'm going to share a few of them with you. I just wanted to say one or two things about what I've seen the ego do personally. I remember in college, I was having coffee with a woman, and we were just sitting and talking, and I watched her face begin to soften. And she wasn't, you know, unattractive, but it got prettier right while I was sitting looking at her, and I thought, boy, that's weird. So we take our ego and we project out onto reality what we want to see or what we don't want to see. And another point was, I've got an old cat, and so I'm petting my cat, and I say, oh, ragamuffin, you know, because it's from my childhood, you know, ragamuffin, Rags the Tiger, something like that. And I look at the cat, and he's not a ragamuffin. He never has been a ragamuffin. I've had the cat for 12 years, and I just thought, wow, that's the first time I've seen the cat. We just see our projections out. So we can't trust this ego. What we need to do is to go deep inside ourselves and find that space of loving kindness. Now, in this pamphlet that Swami writes about, he says what he's found personally is that he exists or does his best to exist at his center. And that center is a center of love. And from that center, his spiritual center, he sees everyone around him at their center. And he does not see egos. He sees their spiritual being in that center. And he says, everyone reacts to me differently. I've got 1,000 friends, and they look to me for help, and I can help them. There's none of the friction for Swami around people. Why? Because he's proactively decided to see people as their divine self, not as their egos. So that's the first thing I recommend as a practice, something I've been working on the last couple of days. Because from that center, you proactively take care of your interactions with people. You don't see them as male, female, all the various labels we stick on them, and react immediately to them. See them as souls. And that has a tendency to raise your own energy up so that you're much brighter, much happier, and your soul is acting. And then a second process that I've been working with is be here now. Now, I'm sure you've heard that concept before. I think I still have Ram Dass's book from 33 years ago. And over the course of my meditation practice, I've attempted to make sense out of be here now. But being bound up in the ego, being here now is just like, you know, in your own pain, your own joy, you're in whatever it is that you're doing. And I thought, well, this doesn't seem like a very good practice. So what is that be here now? Well, in conjunction with seeing people as souls, the being here in the moment begins to open up the world in just amazing ways. You allow the world to be what it is rather than what you want it to be or what you're afraid of it being. And then another companion practice is spend time in joy. We've all had joy at some point in our lives. Make that the commitment of what you intend to do and be. Jivanmukta is also Sat Chit Ananda, existence, consciousness, bliss. That's our promise. That's where we're going. We're going to existence, consciousness, bliss, one with everything in the universe. It's that joy that we're looking for. So spend more time. When you get a chance, think about it. Be aware. Think joy. And then the last one is someone told me that when you're in pain, you're in the ego. I thought, well, that's an interesting comment. And what's more is the ego's centered back here. So anytime you have a particularly negative emotion that you're not happy with, you're tired of, say, take that energy from here and move it to here. Yogananda says he made the most spiritual progress in his guru's ashram by keeping his consciousness centered here at the spiritual eye. Okay, so when you feel that things aren't right, take that energy and move it to the front. Think about joy. Think about love. And expand your consciousness. God bless you.